seated. It is good to have all of you in the house of the Lord, and I started a lesson on Wednesday night, and I gave out a sheet of paper, and I gave with some scriptures. We still have copies of that, and I got to thinking about it, thank you, and thought I would go ahead and sort of catch everyone up this morning, and won't be able to finish the sheet. I knew I would take a couple of Wednesdays at least, and so, but I really think part of the concept that I was dealing with on Wednesday is something that probably we all should hear. And so I'm gonna try to go quickly for those who were here Wednesday, not to bog down again in some of the preaching or teaching. But by the same token, if you would like to have a copy of the sheet, we have some in the back. In fact, the ushers can go through. If you want to raise your hand, you can follow along if you would like one. If not, no pressure. But I think in this hour in which we're living, we have to use the Word of God to help us fight our battles. And that means that maybe memorizing some verses, writing out a verse on a note card, or reminding ourselves, or putting the Word into our thinking and mind and heart becomes important, because we are bombarded with lies, and we're bombarded with stories that the enemy will try to tell us. And those things are not found in the Word of God. And it's amazing the messages that come from the society and from some of these other sources. And I actually I looked at, I looked at the fact that here we are, and we've been growing an apostolic legacy, and we have an understanding that we're more than a conqueror. And I put a picture of David and Goliath, because while that's not a picture of really David or Goliath, we know that Goliath was very tall and David was a young lad, and so probably was not very tall. And so here we have this quite a juxtaposition of size, quite a difference. One had on armor, body armor, and a shield and a spear, and someone to help carry those things for him, because his shield was so heavy. And one was a champion and had on armor on his legs and feet and all, and was a champion. And yet the other one had no armor and had a sling and a few rocks, five rocks. And we know that, you know, you would not, if you were putting money, if you were wagering, if you were the bettors in Las Vegas, you wouldn't say David stands a chance. You would not go, wow, this is a guy that's, you know, maybe toss up, 50-50, maybe he's got a 55% chance of walking out. No way. You would say 1%, zero, whatever. Maybe you wouldn't put your money on David. And yet we know the story. David won the battle, and he ended up cutting off Goliath's head. And the verse in the New Testament that becomes so much that we quote it, where it says that we're, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. So we are not just a conqueror, but we are more than conquerors. But that verse is very, very, it doesn't stop there. It says, through him that loved us. And that's an important part, because you will not conquer if you forget that God loves you. Right. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if somehow you get in your mind that, you know, I don't know if God knows where I am or what I'm going through. You know, we mentioned all of the visitors and those things, and we're thankful for all of you, and we'll have a meet and greet. But we're glad when our own are able. Brother Richard Luzader, he's not been feeling well, been going through. We've been missing him and others. Brother Tim, as I mentioned, and others that are here, that we say, wow, here it is. We, you know, how much God loves us to be able, you know, you can never forget that. And yet when you are going through it and you are fighting for your life, or you're fighting your health, or you're having family issues, or something's going on, it's easy to forget that God loves me. And you'll never be a more than conqueror until you can keep reminding yourself that God loves us. And it has to change our mind. And that's why I use the verses, and I put them on your paper that we gave out, that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And how's that transformation got to start? In the mind. By the renewing, by making your mind new, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, I realize that you may say, well, that God loves us, and yet we read it only usually during marriages, but when in reality, it should be read a lot more than that. And that is what love does for us. And I put it on your paper. Love suffers long, and love is kind, and it doesn't envy, and goes on, and it's not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And I realize that there is no way that, you know, we would be able to say that God doesn't love me whenever those are the things that he believes are part of love. And so sometimes it may help to memorize, you know, those verses right there about love and what love does. And love, you know, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Because what happens is the devil wants to try to get into our mind and heart and say, God doesn't love you anymore, and you've messed up, and God doesn't care about you, and God's not for you, and God doesn't want you. And he does. Immediately I begin to lose the battle that starts here in the mind and in the emotions. And I can't be a more than conqueror when I begin to have those thoughts and entertain them. And so it's easy. It's easy to find myself, you know, and yet no matter what is said, and then I mentioned 3D enemies or, you know, obstacles on your paper, and that is the enemy of disappointment, and everybody's been disappointed, and if you've never been disappointed, you know, please stand. so we have to sit here the rest of the day and discouraged. And if you've never been discouraged, and then if delay happens, you know, if you want something so bad and you believe it's going to happen and you think it's going to take place, and this was going to be the answer, and this was going to happen this way, and it hasn't yet, then immediately it becomes an enemy that eats away at us. And people get, you know, it is so easy to get offended. It's so easy to get hurt. And you know, somebody says something, and maybe it's not, you know, maybe they shouldn't have said it, or maybe they shouldn't have done it, or maybe it shouldn't have been that way. And yet, I am labeled at a point where I'm stressed, and I don't like it, and I don't like what was said, and this doesn't sit well with me, you know, I don't appreciate what was, you know, how I was treated, and in fact, the point that I made Wednesday night, and we spent a while and we read the verses, and I don't need to read them. They're all in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. You can go through and read them for yourselves. But David went through this, his own brothers, whenever he was, and what's amazing is David got anointed to be king before this, and he was going to be the next king. And wow, hallelujah, I'm going to be the next king. And yet, immediately he goes back to watching sheep, and his dad calls him in and says, your brothers are out there in the battle, and why don't you go out? And yet David had been given a job. He had been allowed to go to the palace, and he was to play music and sing songs, all this before David and Goliath. And yet things didn't work out the way he thought they would, and he wasn't invited to the battle, and he wasn't this. And so he's back home watching sheep, and all of a sudden, you know, his dad says, go down, bring bread and cheese, and he goes down, and there's the Philistines on one mountain and the children of Israel on the other, and out in the middle of the valley, here's this champion come out, and he's yelling, and he's saying, come on, fight. And we know the story. All of us have been in church long enough to know what was said, and you know, come down, send me your champion. And David starts asking questions. He just asks questions. Who is this guy? What's he doing? Who is he that would defy the armies of the Lord? And he immediately, he is pounced on by Eliab, his older brother, and in fact, the Bible talks about three others come to him, and they say, you're naughty. You've got a prideful spirit. You're wrong. What are you doing here? And David, and I mentioned this Wednesday, if he would have allowed himself to get embroiled in their fight, then he would have lost focus on what was most important. And that is, we're under attack. And, you know, that's why the Bible talks about the anointing and unity and a flow of the Spirit, is because it is so easy. If you've never been offended, raise your hand. No hands will go up. If you've never been hurt, raise your hand. If something's never been said or done or whatever, all of those things, it's easy. But if we're not careful, we'll move our focus onto that and get it off of God and the real battle, which is that I'm supposed to be praising and worshiping and magnifying the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
In fact, the Bible is very clear. This is the will of God, that I worship Him, that I show forth the praises of Him who has called me out of darkness. But you know what? I can come into church and I can feel so under attack. And then, you know, this one's hurt me, and that one's offended me, and this one's done wrong, and I don't like that, and I don't like this, that I miss an opportunity to magnify and praise God and get the presence of God to cleanse me and to wash me and to cleanse my mind and heart and my emotions. And I miss that chance.
Yeah.
Because I'm embroiled in a fight with my brothers. And that's what David could have done.
Amen.
And he didn't. He kept saying, is there not a cause? Let's not go there. We don't. And you can read those verses where David basically, and then of course, you know, he asks Saul, and Saul tries to give him armor. You read the whole thing. And yet David kept the focus on, that's Goliath, and he has come to challenge us. And those sense of that rage. And now, you say, well, I'm not fighting Goliath. I want to tell you something. You are fighting, and I am fighting, against spirits and principalities every day of our lives. In fact, Revelation, the 12th chapter, calls him the old dragon, the serpent, that he is the accuser of the brethren. And if you don't hear and feel the accusations,
think about it.
On a daily basis, I don't know where you're living. You will fight all kinds of spirits. Spirits that will try to build a lie that the enemy uses to throw a lie. I mean, and you say, well, how is he good at this? I want to tell you how good he is at it. You have to understand that the devil has been lying to folks from the very beginning. Here was Adam and Eve in a perfect place in the garden, and yet the Lord, allowed them to have access to everything. He just told them to avoid one tree. Don't eat the fruit thereof. And the Bible says somehow they felt like they were missing something because the enemy lied to them about the Word of God. That's why the Word becomes so important, that I hear and I embrace and I put the Word into my heart and mind. And so we talked about then the lies that the enemy uses, and I mentioned the first one was the lie that I'll never be satisfied. And that's a brand new psychological disorder. And that's kind of where I started on this. Probably maybe y'all have heard of it. I had not really paid much attention to it. But now FOMO, F-O-M-O. You can Google the word F-O-M-O. Didn't know that word existed. It's a new psychological disorder. And it comes from social media. And it's called fear of missing out. Because everybody else is having wonderful breakfasts. And everybody else's kids are beautiful. And everybody else is going to the Riviera. And everybody else is doing wonderful things, and their marriage is perfect. And they never argue, and their kids never soil their diapers. And they never have bills. And they can afford everything. Huh? That's the way social media promotes it. And so it's become a new disorder, that I'm missing out on something. It's really not a new disorder. It's just that they've identified it as a new disorder from social media. But how many times have we seen young people that said, oh, I can't, to mom and dad, you know, everybody else has those kind of tennis shoes, and everybody else has, huh? And everybody else is going, and everybody else is having fun. So it's not a new disorder. It's just a repackaging. Now we put it on social media. It's social media's fault, and maybe it has increased it somewhat. And then, you know, SDT was another one, self-determination theory, not the STD, but SDT. And they said that people don't feel satisfied with their life anymore. I can't be happy. My husband... You know, my husband didn't bring me chocolates and flowers. And look, on Facebook, 7 out of 10 other husbands do that. Huh? And my husband didn't come riding in on a white horse and sweep me off the feet and us ride down the beach together. And 9 out of 11 other husbands do that all the time. I'm just not happy with my life. I don't feel fulfilled. I don't feel satisfied. Everybody else has a wonderful job. I'm not satisfied. And so that lie that the enemy puts in our minds, that you'll never be satisfied, you'll never have what you really have been longing for, that is the biggest lie that the enemy has ever tried to perpetrate on humankind. Because the Bible says, Psalms 145:16, thou openest thy hand and thou satisfies the desires of every living thing. The enemy will try to create some desire that you're missing out on that is not what God has for you or needs for you. You've got to remember, He loves me. He wants the best for me. He's got the best for me. I don't need whatever it is that I don't have. Right. He supplies my needs. You say, well, does that mean that you sit back and you do nothing? No, I'm not saying you can't try to better yourself and have a better job and get a better education and whatever. I don't think you'd ought to go as far as to say I'll get a better wife or a better husband or better parents or better whatever. But I think there is that sense that something's not satisfying me, and yet I will never be truly satisfied until I have a connection spiritually where the presence of God begins to flow through me. That's where my satisfaction will come from. Psalms 36 and verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. You know, the Bible talks about at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. What are you saying? I am saying that, you know, Jeremiah says that my people shall not shall be satisfied with my goodness. I'm telling you, you listen to me very carefully today. I don't know what it is that's driving you. I don't know what it is that you want to try to achieve, but the greatest thing that you could ever have is to have a presence and the power of God flowing through your life and mind and heart that will satisfy you when nothing else will. Amen. You say, well, if I had a new car, I'd be satisfied. If I had a new job, I'd be satisfied. If I had a new whatever, I'd be satisfied. I want to tell you, you won't be satisfied, because there's a satisfaction that only God can fill, that missing thing in your heart. And yet, that's the lie that he goes forward with, is that somehow, you know, somebody else is receiving something and somebody else has something and I don't have it. And the next lie, and I just put down 12 of them, and there's probably another 20 that you could have go through, but another lie that the enemy does and tries to attack people with is that I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Yeah, maybe that was for you, and maybe that was for somebody else. And I realize, you know, we can go from one end of the spectrum to the other. You know, I can be mad because I don't like those people, and I can be mad because I don't like this, or I can be mad that I feel like I'm not worthy. Or upset. I'm not worthy. And the enemy attacked my heart and my thinking. And yet, one of the great parables that the Lord tells is that of the prodigal son. And we've all read about it, and how the father keeps looking for the son that has been extremely disrespectful and extremely, with a terrible attitude. You want to talk, I've read the story, and I've preached the story, and I've been very candid with you. In my humanity, I don't know that I could respond like the dad. Huh? I mean, you know, my child came in and was so arrogant and basically said, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance now. I'm tired of it. I'm just telling you, I don't know that my love would be so kind as to say, here, take the money. I don't know that I have that kind of love. I don't know that I wouldn't be a little bit like, how dare you? What do you think this is? You know, but not the father in the story. He gave up, and then he listened and watched as the son went and blew it and had whatever, parties, and gave away money and did, the Bible says, riotous living. And so blew it, had a good time, just literally blew it. And then, you know, dad, here comes son, I'm sorry. Sorry, Sheena. Caitlin's downstairs. She doesn't have to hear this confession. I just don't know that I couldn't just say, here's the best robe. Here's, without going, you realize what you have done?
Think about it, yes.
Do you realize how stupid you were? You realize that,
Yes.
I'm not saying I wouldn't embrace and love and try to get over it, but I'm not sure I could have done it with the grace that the Father did it.
Amen.
In the story. Huh? Maybe you could have just said, here's the best robe, here's the best shoes, here's the ring. That means the authority, I'm giving it right back to you. First day, first moment. Most of us would have gone, okay, we'll give you 6 months.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
Just being real. Now maybe you would be all that. And what's then amazing is that this dad has been fattening up a calf in anticipation that his son would return. I don't know if the day he left, if he said, all right, put that one, we're going to start feeding it extra because we're fixing to have a party when my son, I don't know when he did it. But that thing that he has been pouring extra into, he says, bring that, we're going to have a party. And he says, the angels rejoice. What are you saying? I'm saying the love of God is so much greater than my love as a father. And I love my children, and I would do my best to try to help my children. But I'm telling you, the love of God is even greater than what humanly I would find myself. What are you saying? I am telling you that you tell me that you are not worthy. That is the biggest lie that the enemy would ever try to get in your mind. If you knew how much God loves us, if you realized how much God loves me, it is not a question of am I worthy, but that is the kind of God that I serve. He loves me. Oh, he loves me. David said it like this, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all thy benefits. Who forgives all my iniquities? Who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases? Who has redeemed my life from destruction? I'm telling you, we serve a God that'll do everything he can to turn your life around and to redeem you and to change your direction. He will love you that much. Who crowns me with loving kindness, and tender mercy, who satisfies my mouth, there's that satisfaction again, with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. What are you saying? I'm saying to you, the years that the canker worm has destroyed, I don't care how you have destroyed your own life, you know what? If you will come back to God, if you will turn to God, I'm talking about a God that loves you enough, he will be there with a robe and a ring and a pair of shoes and a fatted calf. He will do everything he can just because that's how much he loves me. We sing it, oh, how much he loves me, and that's so true. But the enemy will try to make you feel like the Lord doesn't love you and that the Lord is through with you and you're not worthy. And you say, well, I've messed up, I understand, but that doesn't mean that you're not worthy. Another lie is that the battle is just too great. I can't defeat this. This is bigger than me. It's in my genes, it's in the genetics, it's the way I was raised. It's what's happened, and the battle is more than I can handle. And the Bible is full of stories that just refute that lie, because there is no battle that is too great for God.
Right.
There is no battle that's too great for God. I don't care what it is you're fighting, and whether it's physical or disease or spiritual or spirits, that doesn't mean you're not going to have to. You may have to fight and you may have to keep fighting, but don't for one moment think that God's lost control.
Yeah.
Or that it's over, it's bigger than he is. There's nothing that is bigger than God. This week, Sister Bev Clark sent me a tape of Brother Raymond singing. let me see if I pull it up. I was blown away because I was like, you know what? I remember listening to what the doctor had to say about this individual, and said there would never be any quality of life, and there would never be.
What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Is bigger than God. Don't tell me that a neurological department is bigger than God. The battle is the Lord's. Oh, hallelujah. We ought to just thank the Lord for a miracle. What a miracle that is. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. What are you saying? David said it in Psalm 1 Samuel 17. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Why? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David realized this was not a battle for me against Goliath. This is a battle that the Lord, I brought the Lord into it. And this battle with Brother Raymond Clark is not about us. It's not about Sister Bev. This is about God versus the neurological department. And God says, I can give him back a quality of life that you can't ever imagine could happen. Oh, well, I'm disappointed. I wish you were up and running the aisles, and I wish you were here. And I feel discouraged that he's not where I would like for him to be. And I feel like a delay. It's been almost 2 years now, and I don't like that. God's never, he's not out of the control. He hasn't lost the battle. Don't ever believe that, no matter what anybody says or does. First Chronicles, the 20th chapter says, whenever Jehoshaphat came down, and they sent ambushments, and the choir said, the Lord tell them, be not afraid by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. clouds. Sometimes you have to be willing to understand that this spiritual thing that I'm going through and this attack that maybe everybody else is waging is not that it's trying, it is not anything more than the enemy is trying to defeat me, and this is not my battle, it's the God's battle, and I, with him, I will be victorious. Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee." And then, you know, the next lie is, well, I'll never be able to change. I'll never be able to be different. I was born this way. I can't do it. And that is such a lie, because we can be a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Old things are passed away, and behold, some of the things can be... All things can be new. And you go, well, does that mean that I'll never, you know, if I've been battling alcohol, I'll never battle alcohol again? No, you may for a while. But I want to tell you, the Lord's able to make you a new creature. The Lord's able to make all things new. And you go, well, I've got a genetic predisposition to whatever. You know what? The Lord's able to change that.
Amen.
Philippians says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. You know, what are you saying? I'm saying that God knows exactly how to finish the battle. He is able to change you. And you say, well, how do I do that? And that's why, you know, we will talk about coming, letting the Holy Ghost flow. And the Bible talks, and I read the verse a few weeks ago, as we get into the glory of God. I'm talking about the awe of God. Remember, I said, as Moses got, and he only saw the backside of God. But we, in Corinthians, it said, open face, beholding him from glory to glory, are by the Spirit, are transformed into this new image. And so why is that important? Because I want to be a new creature, and so it becomes important that I can find myself plugging into the Spirit daily, weekly. I mean, if you can go through, you say, well, I do that at home. Good.
All right.
And then the whole discussion about talking in tongues, you remember what Paul said? Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, and yet, I don't want to survey this church. We're apostolic. But my guess is all of us speak in tongues a whole lot more at home than we do at church. I'm talking about praying through to the Spirit, right? Because that's what Paul did. And yet I can't understand why I'm struggling, Pastor. Huh? I don't get it, Pastor. I'm just seems like I feel good on Sunday, but then by Wednesday I'm just... Did you talk in tongues on Monday? Pray through to the Holy Ghost? Huh? Well, what about Tuesday? I'm okay, you know. You can go, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And I know that's praying, but that's not really praying. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I can go, you know, Kawasaki Honda, and that's wonderful. And that's speaking a, you know, funny language. But I'm talking about really getting through to the Spirit. I'm talking about tapping into the Holy Ghost. One of the when you're fighting, let me tell you, when you're fighting a fight of your life, you'll realize how much you need that.
Amen.
On a daily basis. And if you're trying to change, and if you're trying to get... be a new creature in Christ Jesus, there's something about having being able to get up, having the awe of God and letting the Lord flow through you and having a moment, 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is. Why? I need your presence today. I can't change. That's a lie. Let me keep coming back and letting the Holy Ghost wash me. Let the Holy Ghost keep touching me. Oh, before long, I'll start to change. The reason I'm not changing is I'm only getting my fix once a week. And maybe not even then. I come in and, you know, if I don't really like the music and if I don't really feel like it and if I don't, you know, oh, hallelujah. Let's just go on. Another lie. Cursed with poverty. I've seen people that said, I'm going to always be poor. I'm never going to be blessed. That's such a lie. In the Malachi, he told them, you are cursed with a curse. But guess what? You can break it. You can break that curse. He said, you've robbed me. This whole nation has robbed me. Start giving. And all of a sudden, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. I will rebuke the devourer. Were for your sakes, he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor cast the fruit before its time. What are you saying? I don't care. Even if you have been battling, let me tell you, if you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. If you've got to give, there's just something about give, and it shall be given unto you. And if you find yourself, I'm not talking, you can't bribe God, and if I give God $100, he's going to give me $1,000. But there's something about saying, Lord, I'm going to honor your word. I'm going to give. I'm going to do my best. We're not taking another offering this morning. You can say, well, but I don't like it. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like the people. I don't like the church. I don't like, you know, I'm just telling you, you will embrace or you will rebuke that devourer. How? By how I give. And we understand that. That's not something, but when people say, well, I think I'm cursed. No, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? He that hath a clean hands and a pure heart. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. As I come into his presence, as I let the presence of the Lord flow through me, there is a blessing that God will begin to put back in my life. You are not cursed forever. You are cursed as long as I try to fight this battle without letting the Lord be a help. That's why I give. I give because I need the Lord's help. I need the Lord's blessing. I need the Lord's protection. I need God. You say, well, we can figure this out. You'll never figure it out. I'm sorry. You'll never figure it out on your own. Another lie is the sense of, and maybe you've never battled all these lies, but some may have, that I'm too unlovable. I'm too different. I wasn't raised like you. I was raised different. I'm too... You don't know my past. You don't know how I... Ephesians, the first chapter, says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I don't know of anybody. I don't care how you were raised or where your culture or where you're from, that somehow the Lord will accept you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, I'm not saying that everybody here is going to immediately embrace you and be your friend, but the Lord will.
Amen.
And I'm hoping that we all have enough of the Lord that we will.
Yes.
You understand? It becomes important that, first of all, God will accept us, and we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. What do you mean? I don't care what your background is, and we have people, and I know, you know, people can say, well, I can't believe that you're letting that person, or that you have that. If you only knew, such were some of us, and we were washed, washed, we've been justified, we've been sanctified, and we have a great group of folks that will do their best to try to accept people. You can look down your nose at somebody else and you can say, that person doesn't deserve to talk to me, and this person doesn't deserve, and this person doesn't. Or you can say, you know what, thank God that the Lord is washing and cleansing and touching somebody else, because such was I, but the Lord washed me and the Lord cleansed me. You say, well, you don't understand. I don't put up with that. You know, oh, I'm so thankful for the mercy and grace of Almighty God. And the reason why some folks have trouble with it is because they won't let that flow through them. Let me go on here and I maybe do one more. Well, there's one more verse here. 1 John said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that what? I'm just going to be just honest with you. I don't know why the Lord loves some people. I'll be even more candid than that, and this is probably too personal, but I didn't know why Sheena loved David. I mean, he was a good guy and all, but it was like, what? But I've gotten to know him, and I love this guy.
Yes. Amen.
Sorry, David, I love you. But you know what? It's easy to think, well, why would God choose them? And why would God?
Yes.
That's why there's a place where it says, I mean, I don't know if I put the verse down. Not many mighty, not many noble. I don't know why the Lord chooses who he does, but oh, how much he loves us. Who am I? If the Lord digs somebody out and they respond to the love of God,
yeah, right.
Who am I to say, well, I don't get it? What a powerful, loving Father that would stand there with his arms open wide. How could I be, if I'm not careful, turn into the elder brother and say, how could you open your arms and I forget what God's done for me? Oh, what a privilege that we have this morning, that we can feel to where you say, I'm struggling. I want to be a conqueror. I want to be a more than conqueror. Then let me tell you, you can never forget what God has done for you and how much he loves you. And then you have to be willing to let his spirit touch you and wash you and cleanse you. And then you have to continue to come and let that flow through you. And then wherever the lies are, you're going to have to get your phone out or get this list out, and you're going to have to start memorizing some verses and fight those spirits, those lies that come against your mind. Whenever the enemy says, you're not lovable, or you're gone too far, or you're not worthy, or there's no way, you say, devil, I don't understand it. I don't know why God chose me. I don't know why God picked me up out of the miry clay, but I'm so thankful that he did. How can I not praise him and love him and magnify him? Let's stand. Hallelujah. There's more lies. We'll look at them, but notice what John said. It's not so much that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation, a forgiveness. We love him because he loved us. And I don't know where you may be, and if you feel like the enemy has been bombarding you, I want you to know, oh, how he loves us. Oh, how how he loves us. And if I can ever keep that in my mind, then every lie that comes against that, I will realize, you know what? No matter what the devil says, no matter where I'm going through, I know one thing. He loves me. He loves me. He's able to do all things, and he loves me. If you need the Holy Ghost today, I want you to know that you can have the Holy Ghost. It's a gift that God has for you. If you need to feel the love of God, I want you to know you can today. All you have to do is say, Lord, here I am. Pour your love out on me. And as you begin to respond to that love and begin to tell him how much you love him, you'll feel the presence of the Lord begin to flow through you. Hallelujah. Let's come. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment and worship the Lord. Oh, hallelujah.